Good morning. My name is BJ, a pastor here at Adventure, and I'm excited to have you join us for our series called Who Are We? It's a series focusing on our culture points, which are basically just kind of core values of Adventure. And we've gone through a couple now, but we are in week two of missional unity. But before I jump into that, I wanted to just quickly review the two other points that we've covered. So the first one that we talked about was walking with God, which is basically the value that each one of us has an opportunity to have a personal and vibrant relationship with the God of the universe. And that's really the goal of walking with God, is to know him personally, to have a unique relationship with him, and taking steps further to get to know him. The second one we covered is unique identity. And this is that each one of us is made to reflect God's image in a unique and powerful way. And we've all been given gifts that serve the body of Christ. And our story matters to God. And then missional unity, which we're in week two of today. And this is all about the fact that each one of us plays a critical role in God's kingdom. And our gifts are more effective when used in unity in the body of Christ. So last week, I shared about missional unity, and one of the key verses of that was John chapter 17, and I want to just share that with you again. This is John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. It says, "My prayer is not for them alone," and this is Jesus speaking. It says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." This verse really wraps up the concept of missional unity, because it shows us that we not only need to be united with God, united with each other, but in a way that Jesus is united with the Father. They are the same God, but each individual persons of the Godhead in perfect unity. But it shows the reason, that last verse, "Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." This is the idea behind missional unity. It's not just about coming together as a body of Christ, coming together as a church and being united. That's an important part of it, but it's not the only part of it. We have to remember that our mission is to share the love of Jesus Christ, is to share the gospel, is to make disciples. And the way we do that, the world will know that you have sent me and you have loved them even as you have loved me. We do that through our unity. By being aligned together and on mission together, we show the world that. So I shared with you three aspects of missional unity. Unity with God's heart for the mission, for the church, and then for the leadership. Unity for the mission. We talked about the Great Commission, the challenge that Jesus has given all of us as believers to go and make disciples of all nations. That's the mission. And then shared about the strategy that he has basically commissioned to do that. That's us. The church. That's the vehicle with which he has sent us to do the mission. And in order to have unity with God's heart for the mission, for the church, we talked about three different aspects of that. The first one is peace. Being at peace with each other. I shared that verse that it said, this is 1 Corinthians 1:10. It says that we should be united and have no divisions, but be perfectly united in mind and thought. That's a pretty high bar, but that's the unity that we should be experiencing within the body of Christ. And that's the goal, is the peace. The idea that, as Jesus says, don't come and make an offering if we still are wrestling with a challenge with our brother. Set your offering down and go and make it right. And this is the unity. And that's important because that's the way we show love to the world. That's how we demonstrate our unity. The second was commitment. I talked about the metaphor of kind of a marriage, right? Sharing that we are the bride of Christ. That's what the church is called. And that metaphor is important because if we're not committed to the body of Christ like a covenant marriage, then when things are hard, we might be tempted to just walk away. And so commitment is an important part. Committing to the body of Christ, committing to unity together, but also committing to the local church, saying that, hey, I'm going to be all in. I'm gonna commit. And the last way we demonstrate that commitment is through service. This verse, 1 Peter 4:10, says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each one of us have been given gifts through the Holy Spirit, and we're more effective when we use them to advance the mission as the body of Christ. And then lastly, unity for God's heart with the leadership. And I shared this challenging verse, this Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So the point that we talked about for leadership was this. Sorry, my slide is having issues. Huzzah. Those words we don't like, submission and obedience, and bringing joy to the leaders. Because it's of no advantage if your leaders are groaning and upset. We don't like those words, but each one of us have been given leaders. And when we commit to the body of Christ, when we commit to even a local church, what we're saying is, hey, I'm voluntarily putting myself under the leadership that God has appointed here. And that's as much of a choice as it is for us as believers, but also it is for the leaders. I shared that if I say, all right, this is the exciting vision that we're going to do, and you guys don't decide to go that direction, there's not really a whole lot I can do to motivate you. I can tell you that it's exciting, and what God is going to do is going to be amazing. But if you don't step into that and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust that the direction that the leadership is presented is one that's from you, then there's not really any direction. There's not any movement. We all have to do that. But also, the leaders are held accountable for how they lead, how they shepherd. As Acts chapter 20 shares, here we go. It's trying. There it is. So Acts chapter 20, verses 28 and 31. This is Paul talking to the elders and pastors of the Ephesian church. He's been with them for about 3 years. This is part of the kind of last dialogue he has with them. And he says this, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And this is important because he says, he's talking specifically to the Ephesian leaders. And he says, pay careful attention to the flock that has been appointed to you. And I talked last week about lone wolf Christians, the idea that sometimes we get caught up in this strategy of the enemy to isolate ourselves, to maybe go from church to church, or to have a mindset where we say, you know, I'm not going to commit to one local church. Well, we are all part of the universal church. We're all part of the body of Christ, but also God has appointed shepherds and leaders over little flocks. And if we're constantly jumping between them, then we put ourselves at risk. And on top of that, the leaders, the pastors, the elders, don't know who's in the flock. So if you're not committed here or you're not committed to another church, you're going and you're here sporadically, it's hard for us as leaders to know, is this somebody that we should be walking with? Is this somebody that we should be supporting? Ultimately, we want to support everyone, but our resources are limited. And so when you commit to a body of Christ, you're committing to that. You're saying, hey, I'm in, and I want to be on the team. And so this is missional unity, unity with God's heart for the mission, for the church, and for the leadership. I ended last week with a challenge. Maybe, and some of you said it was a pretty bold challenge, but the challenge was this. If you're not all in here, if you're not all in at a church, the body of Christ as a whole is missing out. And the challenge was this. I encourage you to be all in somewhere. If that's not here at Adventure, then find somewhere that you can be all in. But don't just sit on the sidelines. Don't just hop from church to church. Be all in, because the mission is more important than you or me. The mission is more important than even one local church. We need to be united as the body of Christ. And if you're sitting on the sidelines, the body of Christ is suffering because of it. So that's missional unity in a nutshell. But each week we've talked about, as we've presented a point, the first week we'd share why we present it, what God has put on our heart, the verses that talk about the culture point. And then week two, we try to share with what's the practical application of it. Because the reality is we don't want to just be talking about saying these are our values and not living them out, not implementing them. And so today we're going to do that. And the way that I wanted to do that is I want to, the PowerPoint is going to just kind of sit there for a moment. I'm going to grab a chair. All right. I'm going to get real with you guys for a little bit. I thought, as I was thinking about sharing this, I was thinking about the way in which I wanted to communicate. And part of missional unity is about saying, as a local church, as a body of believers, we want to be aligned in the direction that we're moving. And I wanted to share with you something that we've been excited about and we've been praying about as leaders, and that's home groups. And some of you, the members got a letter that we sent out. We've kind of hinted at it in other things, but I want to just share with you kind of the heart behind that, how we arrived at that. And as I was thinking about presenting it, I was like, I could do some, you know, elaborate PowerPoint, or I could do some big presentation, but that's not really the heart behind home groups. The heart behind home groups is being real and being authentic. And not that we couldn't do that with the PowerPoint, but that really wasn't the heart that I wanted. And not that you necessarily notice a big difference, but I like to dress up on Sundays. That's totally just a thing I like to do. Not that I feel any pressure to, or not that I'm trying to pressure you guys, but I intentionally didn't do that this morning because I wanted it to be more casual. I wanted it to be more comfortable. And so I want to take just a moment to share with you how we arrived at the strategy of home groups, because as a body of Christ, as a local church, that's important because that's a strategy that we're implementing. And home groups isn't a new thing for the church. In fact, in the book of Acts, when the church first started, that was kind of what they did. So it's not a new thing, but it is a shift in the culture of adventure. And as we started praying about the direction for where we'd go, there are certain things that kind of welled up inside of us. And when I say us, I mean kind of the leadership team, the elders. And I want to share those with you. I was praying about, kind of vision and direction for the church. And I just felt this wrestle inside of me. This wrestle, because what I felt like was happening was my family was divided. There were, you know, I was involved in men's and my wife in women's and all these different things that we have going on. And it seemed like every night of the week there was something else. And I felt like this desire to try to like pull my family in because I wanted to do things with my family. I wanted to do life with my family. And then there was this other tension that I looked around at all these people that I love. And I, like, even sitting here now, like, I look around the room and I know most of you pretty well. And to the point where I feel comfortable up here sharing my heart. But at the same time, if I ask myself, how many times has your family come over and had dinner with mine? Even with all the people in the room, it's limited. And that bums me out. That really bums me out. Because there's a desire in me to have deeper relationship. Not that I don't. I have amazing relationships. I have amazing friendships. And I feel free, even on a Sunday morning, to share with you, if you came up to me and said, hey, how's it going? I feel freedom to say, hey, this is how I'm really doing. Here's what's going on in my life. But always the tension is the time. The time. Because on Sunday mornings, I'm busy. On Sunday mornings, we're all hungry. We're running and grabbing our kids. The time to go deeper is always a limit. It's always a hindrance. And so it's out of that, out of those desires that we begin to pray into, God, which direction do you want us to go? How can we continue to grow as families and do life together? Because that's really what I want. When it boils down to it, my desire is to do life with you. And not like this staged thing, not some like fancy group where we go through some specific, you know, booklet that's really formatted, but really do life together. Where we come together and however life is, which is often messy and sometimes a little crazy and sometimes a little inconsistent, we do it together. Because I think about the relationships that I have with my closest friends, and that's what it looks like. It looks like we're like, hey, when can we hang out? Does Monday work? No. Tuesday? No. Wednesday? No. Thursday? No. Okay, let's do it Thursday anyway. We'll just be up late. You know, it's like that's, we just, you just kind of have to make it happen. And that's real life. But we assign this value and we say it's worth it. It's worth staying up a little later to connect and go deeper. It's worth, you know, the, I might feel tired that week, you know, but sometimes it's worth it to do it. And that's the, where this came out of. And so as we pray, we really felt like God was shifting our culture to home groups. This idea of doing life together, very similar to kind of the early Acts church. Coming together, sharing a meal, participating in this activity together and growing together. And that's kind of where home groups was born. And Adventure has had this culture of a really strong men's ministry and women's ministry and individual ministries. And I got to be really honest, over the years, men's ministry has changed my life. Some of the experiences that I had and just walking with God in that have been so impactful for me. And my wife, the same for women's ministry. And I don't want to lose that. I want to go deeper into that, but we've intentionally made a shift to involving the families. And so I want to share just a couple of values that we've come up with. The first is, as I shared, these groups are meant to be more casual. As I think about even like leading a group and hosting a group, Nicole and I were talking about just some of the pressures, you know, of that. Right? Like, is my house clean? And, you know, like trying to manage my kids and like trying to make everything happen. But when I think about my real relationships with my close friends, I don't worry about that stuff. You know, it's more casual. If I had a bunch of friends come over, we'd all pitch in on the meal together. I wouldn't have to create some elaborate feast, and I'm not that great of a cook anyway. I would much rather just show up to Ephraim's house and have him make a delicious feast. But that's the idea, is that it's not meant to be something that adds a bunch of stress. It's meant to be something that brings life. Because the reality is doing life in community brings life. And if we do it in a way that kind of removes the stress, and this is a challenge for me. It's a challenge for all of us to fight through that and say, okay, this isn't just another night. It's an intentional step away from the added stress. It's an intentional inviting in and letting some guards down. And that's something I have to wrestle with. I have to wrestle with not having my house be immaculate. I have to wrestle with not setting out some elaborate feast with all the fine china that I have, which is probably not even a complete set because most of them are broken anyway. But like that's the wrestle that we have is real life. But the idea is, as we prayed more about it, we really wanted to be something that was an extension of the experience we have on Sunday. Not something that is different or separate from it or even competes with it, but saying this culture we have here in this church is something truly amazing. The fact that I can walk up to anybody on Sunday and ask them how their life really is and they'll be real with me is something that I love, and I want more of that. And that's the hope of home group, is that the content and the environment, the culture that we have here is just extended into home groups. And you may not know this, but right now, all of the content from preschool all the way up to adult service right now is actually aligned content-wise. They're covering the same stuff we are on Sunday mornings. And that's intentional. That was an alignment because the framework of home groups is a really natural, hey, let's talk about what God's been doing in our lives. Let's talk about what happened on Sunday. And so each week, we'll have a quiet time that lines up with it. There will be questions in the book. So you just take what you heard on Sunday and basically sit down in your group and say, hey, what's God been teaching us? And the idea is that it will be a family environment. And this is a shift that's challenging for us. Because the idea is that when you go into your home group, say we have dinner, we sit down, and there's an intentional time where we invest in the children. And inviting them into it. Because the reality is, each one of our kids are made in the image of God. And they too have a unique identity. And they have amazing things to say that can challenge all of us. And so we want to have an intentional time where we sit down, maybe 15 minutes, and just say, okay, what has God been teaching you in your class? And we do this on Sundays anyway with my kids. I'll ask them, hey, what'd you learn? And sometimes it's just the most random things and it's not related at all. And there's other times where it's like there's something that, you know, the other day they were saying, they kept on saying, just repeating it, not even like we didn't even ask them, but my two oldest kept on saying, Saul's the sinner, Paul's the winner. And it was something that like Debbie Page had said. It was like part of the lesson. But they were just running around all day saying, Saul's the sinner, you know, Paul's the winner. And like, but it resonated with them. And I don't know why. I think it was just the rhyming aspect of it. But it was great just to ask them and to try to dig deeper in that. And so, but my hope and my desire is doing life together means investing in the next generation. And that's hard sometimes. And it's messy sometimes. And you may go, wow, I would really want to like build relationships with people that are in the same stage of life as I am. Yes, that's part of it too. But also we're families. Walk with the kids, have a time with them, and then take some adult time. Take some time to just walk through life together. And then we're asking those questions. But now we have a framework to be able to involve the kids in it, to grow together. The other thing is that Jeff is the discipleship pastor here at Adventure. Oftentimes, like, what happens is that people, like, when an issue arises, say a family's struggling with something or something comes up, there's some emergency or health thing, it gets kind of through the chain to us. And by the time Jeff and I respond, it's usually like it's gotten bigger. The challenge has gotten bigger. And Jeff and I have been talking and praying a lot about preventative care. The idea that, like, rather than running around putting fires, that as a body of Christ, we're walking together in it. And I think about how many people in this room, you are so qualified. You are so qualified to pray for each other, to shepherd each other, to walk with each other, to support each other, to provide amazing wisdom and counsel, far beyond even maybe what God would use me to do sometimes. And there hasn't been a great vehicle for that to happen. And so home groups helps do that. It helps us bring up those issues early on to walk together in community and do life together. Because the reality is struggles and challenges are going to come up for all of us. What if there was an environment where we could share them and be able to walk together and have an immediate group that could respond instantly and say, yeah, we're going to come alongside you and we're going to pray for you. We're going to make meals for you. Right now, those things happen, but we have programs for them. We have programs for that. We have a program that is a meals ministry. Many of you participate in it. But you know how that happens? Somebody calls and tells either Jeff or I or Susan, hey, this person, you know, needs some meals. I call the leader of that ministry, Shannon. She sets it up, and then a bunch of you volunteer, and we create meals. If we had home groups, that ministry wouldn't have to exist. I mean, really, because it would just, we would know instantly, hey, this person's going through something. The group is here. Let's jump in, and let's support them. That's the idea, is that I think we've programmed a lot of things. Now, there's still value in those programs, but we prayed a lot about the leadership, and God led us to some individual couples have been in training actually for a couple or for several weeks now. And each one of those couples is excited about just kind of launching the first wave. And as we are praying about the timing and knowing we're going into kind of a holiday season that can sometimes be a little crazy. And we thought about that and just realized, you know, this is a need, this is a desire we have, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to step into it. And knowing that we're going to have to take a little break for some of the holidays and do that intentionally and then launch again in January. But we said, hey, this is a direction that God is pointing us in. We want to step into it. And so we're going to do some of that. We're going to have, you know, Christmas parties and do fun things and begin stepping into that culture, knowing that, okay, we're going to take a little break for the holidays, and that's okay. That's a natural thing. And those leaders are excited about that. But it's all about building real relationships, eating meals together, meeting weekly. And that's a big commitment, meeting weekly. And some of you might go, man, how am I going to do that? I've asked that question. I'm one of the leaders. I've asked the same question. How are we going to do this? And the more that I've prayed about it, the more that I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? This is something that I believe the direction that God is moving us in, and it's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for, because I don't want to go another 12 years not having the relationships be deeper. I want more. And that's the value. And so the reality of life is sometimes your family's going to get sick and you're not going to be able to come. Sometimes you're going to have another commitment. That's going to happen. But by having the groups meet weekly, it means that we have more and more opportunities to commit to keep jumping in. And so my encouragement to you is jump all in. Pick a group, jump all in, be excited, show up as many times as you can, and relax. I think this season especially is hard to launch stuff because fall is crazy. And we go, man, it's so busy and it's so overwhelming. And the idea of stepping into something more feels really scary and overwhelming and hard to imagine. My encouragement is push through it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth stepping into this and saying, okay, like we're going to make some sacrifices and we're going to step into it. What I want to do now is I want to give us an opportunity to experience some of that home group. All right. So a couple weeks ago, we actually broke into groups in service. We're going to do that again. But before we do that, I want to present to you just a couple questions that you guys can take some time right now alone in just a quiet time. Then after that, we're going to break into groups and you can share some of those things that you've kind of experienced in your own personal quiet time. And so those questions are this. In what ways did your heart resonate with the vision of home groups? And who are some specific families or individuals that you've been longing to connect with? So if you want some paper or something to write it down in your quiet time booklet, which is also the bulletin, there's some note pages. I want to encourage you, take some time with this just on your own and try to write down some of the things that you're feeling and you're expressing on your own. And then I'll come back up in a minute and explain how we're going to break into groups. If you're new here, maybe this is all overwhelming. You're like, I don't know what's happening. It's okay. I encourage you, do your best to share your perspective. If you weren't here last week, don't worry about it. Even when we break into groups, I encourage you, like if you don't know what to share, don't feel pressure. You don't have to share. Just come and listen in and hear what the culture and community is like here at Adventure. We're excited to have you. So we're going to put some music on. Go ahead and just take a few moments by yourself. Thank you. hardest part of this is getting into the group. Once you're in, it's actually pretty natural. So it doesn't matter the group size. It doesn't matter, you know, who it is. Just grab some people around you. Just be bold. And then what I want you to do is in your group, spend some time just sharing. What about missional unity? What about home groups? What about what you've heard either today, last week, or in your quiet time? What has God been moving in you? The goal is to just be an extension of your experience here on Sunday and share life together. So jump into your groups, have some fun, grab some people around you, and go ahead and make it happen. Youth and kids, join in the conversation. I want to challenge you specifically, share your thoughts because they matter. All right, go ahead and break into groups.
five adventure in one bird, you know, or something like that. And
you can take that out of it. All right. We are going to unfortunately have to wrap up our time because we are out of time. See, we're always out of time. Imagine us not being out of time, being able to go deeper. All right. So my hope is that you guys got to experience just a glimpse of what it can be like, the life that it can bring to just go deeper, to do life together with friends. There are a lot of challenges. The challenges of, you know, how do we manage, you know, kids and still have time as adults? How do we figure out the time of our schedule? What is it going to look like to do holidays and take a break? How do we still connect with, you know, the men or women in our lives? How do we still connect with our same age group? I don't know about my work schedule. It fluctuates each week. Those are all challenges that we're all going to face, but that's part of real life. My encouragement to you is the groups are weekly, so you get an opportunity to plug in. There is several sign-up sheets in the back of each of the different leader groups. They have the day and also the kind of rough area that they're going to be. My encouragement is sign up. The leaders will reach out to you, give you more information, answer any questions that you have. But I'm excited to see how God grows our community as we come together and do life together. As always, before we wrap up with a song, we have prayer available. If you just come sit in the front row after the service, there's people that would love to pray for you and with you. And lastly, this Saturday, we're celebrating our 12-year anniversary. I was just thinking about 12 years as like a junior higher, and the party really fits kind of that, you know, kind of energy level. So come join us. 12 years of celebrating the amazing things that God has done here at Adventure, and we have a lot to celebrate. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's free. It's family-friendly. So come have a fun time, and let's go out with worship.
Let's all stand together.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness flee. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Are you church, and we need your power in us. Can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church, and we are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness flee. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back.
Sunday, guys. We'll see you next week.